Well, it is really great to be able to join you today, and thanks for the opportunity and the privilege to bring you God's word this morning. Well, the passage we're going to be looking at is Luke chapter 12 and the last parts of it, verses 49 to 59. So if you've got a Bible, do turn to Luke 12, and this is what it says, starting in verse 49. I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were ready kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way. Or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you'll not get out until you have paid the last penny. Well, this lockdown period, I think, has caused many of us to reconsider our lives, maybe to reconsider our priorities. But I also know that it's caused many people to question their faith, what they put their trust in, as so much of normal life has been stripped away and taken away from us. People have come to question, what are the truly important things in life? And I think that's causing many people to question faith. Now, I'll warn you now, this message this morning is going to be quite hard-hitting. It's going to be a challenging message, as it causes us to ask the question, decide, are we for Jesus? Or are we against Jesus? Those of you who maybe know this chapter a bit better than others will remember that back in verse 14 of this same chapter, Jesus has said that he's not going to divide between two people. And then just in these verses leading up to it, Jesus said that he's going to judge at his second coming. So it may cause you to be asking the question, well, what's going on here? As Jesus suddenly so clearly says that he's going to divide people. We also see it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17, where it talks about the fact that Jesus came to bring and preach peace on earth. So what on earth is going on as Jesus says that he's talking about dividing people? Is it a contradiction? Well, I can tell you it's not a contradiction. As we work through this together, I hope you'll see that for yourselves this morning. Well, to ease any concerns, I'll just briefly lay out why it's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction because the dividing in verse 14 is dividing on an earthly matter, dividing between who gets the inheritance of a father. And the peace that he came to bring and to preach is a peace between man and God. And he brings peace in that relationship between man and God for those who have faith. But in bringing that peace for those who have faith and for those who don't have faith, that's where the division occurs. So to look through this passage together, I'm going to break it down into three sections, which are as follows. First, we're going to start by looking at why Jesus divides. Then we're going to see that judgment is imminent. Then we're going to finish up by looking at why we should settle with God whilst we can. So firstly then, Jesus divides. I think in some ways this shouldn't surprise us one little bit. If you're a follower of Jesus, or maybe if you're not a follower of Jesus, then we should know that this is true from our life experience. We see that faith divides people. And the persecuted church is blatant evidence of that. That people are thrown into prison and even put to death because of their faith. Faith divides. And I think if you ask people why Christianity in particular divides, I think you get one of two reasons. You'd get either that Christianity is exclusive. Christianity is black and white in that sense, that Christianity claims and says there is only one true way and every other way is false. Well, Christianity does make that claim. But Christianity is no more exclusive than any other worldview or viewpoint. Every viewpoint at its core must say that that viewpoint is the one and only true way. So Christianity is no more exclusive than any other viewpoint. And I think the second reason that people would give you is that Christians are arrogant, or Christianity has an arrogance to it. Well, Christians, we have to remember, are still sinners. We're not perfect yet, so we don't live out the Christian life perfectly. So at times, Christians may display arrogance, and if you've experienced that, then I'm sorry. Because that's not what Christianity is all about. See, the Christian life is one of humility, not arrogance. The Christian life says, there's nothing good in me, so I humbly submit to the God who has saved me. And I submit to his rule over my life, and I obey him and his plan and direction for my life. The Christian realizes that we've sinned just like everybody else has sinned. And so we're all in the same boat of falling short of God's standards. And we all need God to save us. So Christianity is actually a thing of humility. It's a faith, a humble faith in a loving, saving God. So it's not a faith of arrogance. Both of those viewpoints are wrong. So here is the real reason that Christianity divides. During his 3 years of ministry, Jesus has one clear message throughout. And that's the source of the division. His message was that humans are sinful and they need to be roused from their complacency in order to repent and believe in Jesus, who is their saviour. And for some of you, even hearing me say that may cause anger to flare up in you, or annoyance to flare up in you just hearing that now, because that's the reality of that message, that people don't like to hear that they do wrong, that they're bad people. But in God's eyes, that is the truth. So Jesus going around preaching this message will provoke a reaction. It's not a nice, fluffy message. And the message that I'm bringing this morning isn't going to be nice and fluffy either. You see, through his message, Jesus shows individuals what's wrong with them. And then they have to decide whether to follow him or not. And people don't like being told there's something wrong with them. But the reality of Christianity is that it's either Jesus or not Jesus. It's salvation through the cross or no salvation. And when you've made your mind up on those two, the reality is that it's then satisfaction in life through knowing Jesus, or it's dissatisfaction in life. And I can say that because God designed the world in a certain way. And when you get outside of that and you say, I'm going to find the same fulfillment that God designed me to have, but in something that isn't God, then you're never going to find that fulfillment. And if you're truly honest with yourself, you'll know that what I'm saying there is true. You'll know that if you run after money or your career or sex or good looks or whatever it is for you that you seek your satisfaction in, that satisfaction doesn't last. Take money for an example. If you say, oh, I just need another £20, then when you get that £20, you want another 20 and another 20 and so on and so on. And in my experience, this dissatisfaction in life leads to anger at God and a rejection of God rather than a seeking of God as their true satisfaction. The reality of this message is that people will either respond or they'll reject the message of Jesus. And right there you have division. Can you see that? Can you see how faith or no faith in Jesus causes conflict and division? And Jesus says to us here that division will even be in the close relationships, in the father-son, the mother-daughter, the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law relationships. And that's because when you know and follow Jesus. People who reject Jesus and say he's unnecessary or a killjoy or just a crutch. It's hard to hear because you love him and you know him and have a personal relationship with him. It's hard to fully align with someone who doesn't share the most important thing in your life, which as a Christian is faith in Jesus. And it's tough to be around people who embrace sin that you try to resist. We've got some great friends who we've been friends with for years, but they don't know Jesus, they don't love Jesus. When we spend time with them, there's always something missing in our conversation, in our enjoyment of time with them. And that's that we don't share the greatest thing in our lives with them. We don't share or have a common faith in Jesus. And there's that slight division, therefore, in our lives. Or for people who don't follow Jesus, when they meet a Christian, they can dislike that person because they don't like God or because they feel judged by that person. Well, the judgment by that person should never be felt because we all know that there's only one true judge and one who should judge, and that's God himself. But let me try and unpack that a bit more for you. Have you ever had somebody that you really dislike? Who, just when you see them, they almost make your blood boil. They make a bit of frustration and anger just come out of you and you don't really know where it's come from. Well, as Christians, the answer to that probably should be no. But the reality is that I would expect for most of us, the answer to that is yes. When you see somebody else talking to that person who just makes your blood boil, when you see somebody being nice to them, you can quite easily start to dislike the other person as well. Because by association, you don't understand how they can be talking to that person who you dislike. Well, the same can be true for non-Christians to Christians. The non-Christian has this dislike of Jesus. And therefore, by association, they have a dislike of the Christian who loves Jesus. And I've experienced that a bit here in Worcester. I went to university in Bath and have family history in Bath, so I'm a Bath rugby supporter. And in Worcester there is a team, the Worcester Warriors. So Worcester fans, when they find out that I live in Worcester but support Bath, want to have very little to do with me. They don't understand why I don't follow the local team. And that's a small illustration of a sporting scenario of how that plays out. The people no really longer want to talk to you because you're a Bath rugby supporter and I'm a Worcester supporter. Well, the same can be true if you're a Christian. Non-Christians may find it hard to talk to you and therefore they separate themselves off from you and division happens. The result of the gospel is that it brings natural friction between believers and non-believers. And since you can't sit on the fence, that friction and conflict will happen. See, Jesus didn't come to mess around. But he came to save mankind. And the result of Jesus' message is that a decision has to be made by each and every one of us. A decision of, are you for God or against God? Will you follow Jesus or will you not? And I hope the next two points will encourage you and enable you to come to an answer on that question. So secondly, Jesus says that the judgment is imminent. He says it there in verse 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it already kindled. See, fire throughout the Old Testament is an image of judgment, of God's judgment on his people and on the world. So Jesus is saying that I've come to bring judgment, and how I wish it was already kindled, how I wish that fire was already starting. But he says it can't start yet. It can't start yet because I've got this baptism to undergo. Well, that baptism isn't the baptism that immediately comes to our mind, the baptism of a believer who goes into the water and back out of the water. It's the baptism of his cross. It's a baptism through death, of passing into death when he died on the cross, but then rising again 3 days later as he is resurrected. See, that was Jesus' mission. His one aim was to go to the cross to pay the cost of our sin. And he hasn't done that yet, so the time is not yet for this judgment to come, but the time is coming, and Jesus wishes it was now. And then Jesus uses this illustration of weather forecasting. During this lockdown, we've had some brilliant spells of weather, haven't we? Weeks in here in Worcester, we've had weeks on end of clear blue skies. But that's led little Isaac into a bit of a false impression of when rain is coming. It can be the whitest, fluffiest cloud in the sky that just blocks the sun. And it goes a bit darker and he goes running inside if he's outside shouting, "It's going to rain." Well, he's not particularly good yet at forecasting the weather, but we see the people here are pretty good, aren't they? When they see a cloud rising in the west, they say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, they say it's going to be hot, and it is. They know how to interpret what the weather's going to do. But Jesus is saying to them, you can do that, but you can't interpret the times. You hypocrites, you don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus says that to them because as Jews, they had the Old Testament, just like we have the Old Testament in our Bible. They had the same Old Testament. The Old Testament that prophesied about Jesus to come. But it also prophesied about John the Baptist, who was going to come right before Jesus. And back in chapter 3 of Luke, we've seen that John the Baptist has come and he's prepared the way. So the Jews should have been looking around and expecting the Messiah, Jesus, to be around because John the Baptist has done his role. But although they're expecting him, although they're looking for the Messiah, they don't recognise who Jesus truly is. They're not recognising the present time as the time of salvation. Instead, they're trying to kill the one who brings that salvation. See, the Jews knew the Old Testament well, and they claimed to be waiting for Jesus, the Messiah, to come. And yet they reject him and ultimately kill him. And as a result, judgment comes on them as a nation and they lose everything. It's not that long after that Jerusalem as a city is destroyed. And there's people like that still today. People who don't recognise the present time as the time to decide whether to follow Jesus or not. I wonder whether you've ever heard people say, I'll decide who Jesus is tomorrow. Or, I'll live how I want, and then I'll repent and believe on my deathbed. That way I'll enjoy life far more. And maybe you've said that yourself. Well, I challenge you this morning, don't be so cocky. Because none of us know when our final day will be. None of us know when we'll take our last breath. So don't leave deciding about Jesus until tomorrow, when you can decide today. The judgment is imminent, so make up your mind on Jesus today. So then third and finally, settle whilst you can. Jesus finishes with this warning in verses 57 to 59, and he says to the Jews, be careful of going to court with an opponent, as he may turn you over and you'll be the one who ends up in prison. You see, these Jews were thinking, or people may think when they're going to court, I'm on the right side of this. I'm in the right. And I know when I get before that magistrate that I'll come out the winner. You think it's a done deal. But then in reality, when you get there, actually you don't end up in front of the magistrate, but the judge. And the opposite happens and you end up in prison. And in this illustration that Jesus gives, the judge here is God. And the adversary is Jesus. And the prison is hell. And the Jew is the one who's taking their adversary off to the magistrate. You see, Jesus here is talking to the Jews. He's saying that they claim to know God. And they think that when they stand before him on that day of judgment, they know the outcome. That God will give them his approval and be pleased with them. But what Jesus is saying is that as you go and stand before God, I'm going to be the one standing alongside you. And the question that God asks is, do you believe in my son? Do you trust in him? So they think that their good deeds, the Jews were brilliant at all of their good deeds and their religious acts. But that's not what God asks for. That's not the scale on which God weighs our lives. And instead, he's going to say, did you believe in my son? And when they say no, rather than getting the approval of God, they'll end up with the judgment of God and in prison or hell. So don't wait, Jesus is saying to them, until that day of judgment when you stand before God to realize that you're wrong. Instead, be reconciled to your adversary. Be reconciled to me, Jesus is effectively saying. Now, because the day is now. There is only one way to be made right with God, and that is through Jesus. There is only one route to reconciliation with God. And although Jesus here is talking to the Jews, it's also a warning for us. You see, there's nothing that we can ever do either to earn reconciliation with God. It is only faith in Jesus that can do that. No good deed that you ever perform and no religious act that you ever do. Going to church every Sunday, praying, reading your Bible, watching services online, none of that will reconcile you to God or earn you favour with God. They're all things that we do as Christians, but we do them as a response to what Jesus did for us and because of the faith that we have in him. During lockdown, we've started watching a series on Netflix called Suits. It's a series about a couple of law firms, and it's been interesting to get a bit of an insight into the legal industry. I don't know how real it is, but in Suits, there's these rich, savvy lawyers who seem to just love to settle a case. And they love to settle because they'd never be sure of the outcome of a court case, particularly if a jury is going to be involved. And if it's a case that they've got that they know they're on the losing side of, then they're even more eager to settle before it gets to court. They realise that they're going to lose. So they try and bring this settlement offer to the side who have got the upper hand before the side with the upper hand realises that they've actually got that upper hand. They try to make the best of a bad situation and settle. Well, with God, we can be certain that we cannot win our case on that judgment day. That in standing on our own, through what we've done, we will lose that case against God. We can never earn God's forgiveness or his approval. But the amazing thing about the gospel and the message that Jesus brings is that we can be forgiven simply by faith in Jesus. You see, God has got the upper hand. God is the one who knows that we don't meet his approval. We don't meet his standards. And yet we don't take the settlement offer to him, but he offers it freely to us. And the settlement offer is, believe in my son who died for you upon a cross to forgive you of all of your wrongdoing. Simply repent and believe in my son, and you are a fully forgiven child of mine. You see, Jesus says, I've paid the cost for you. I've paid the cost for your sin and your wrongdoing. But not only have I done that, but I've put my righteousness upon you, my right standing before God upon you. So when he looks upon you, he sees you as perfect. And as we come to close, let me finish with this. Life is a journey soon to be over. And after death comes the judgment. And we should all do well to settle matters between Christ and ourselves before we reach the end of the road. That way, our case will never come to court because the trial has already been done when Jesus died upon the cross. And in John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus tells us exactly how to settle. He says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Jesus has dealt with your wrongdoing. And there is now longer no condemnation for you if you simply believe in him. All you need to do is have faith in Jesus. And through that, he has made you 100% right with God. See, through faith in Jesus, on that day of judgment, God won't see all your sin and your wrongdoing. He'll see Jesus' perfect nature upon you. There is now no condemnation or judgment for those in Christ. Jesus didn't come to divide humans against each other over issues of this world like inheritance. He came to save us. And in dealing with our greatest need, which was reconciliation with God, he divides us into two categories. Those who believe in him and those who don't. those who are for God and those who are against God. Which category will you fall into? Will you believe or won't you believe? You can't sit on the fence, and today's the day to make that decision. Let me pray. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your goodness to us. We thank you for Jesus, who came into this world and died in our place upon that cross. Thank you for that free offer of forgiveness. Father, I pray for any who don't yet know you this morning. May they come to a true and saving understanding of Jesus. May they put their trust in you and decide to follow you. Father, I pray for any sitting on the fence. May they get off the fence and decide who you truly are. May they also come to follow and to love you. Father, for those of us who are following you, may you increase our love for you, may you increase our knowledge of you, and may we serve you better each day. Father, we do pray that you will be, you'll speak to each of us, and that you'll draw our hearts closer to you, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.